Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. D. Richard Ferguson.
James 2:8 says, if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. The royal law is that you must love your neighbor as you love yourself. But what if you hate yourself? We all know what it's like to be disgusted with ourselves, right? So if that's the case, what does that do to the command, love your neighbor as you love yourself? Do I have to get over my self-loathing before I can obey that command? Or is my self-loathing actually a function of my self-love? What's the standard for love? I think most people in the world think that they're loving. Yes, the average person, are you a loving type? Oh yeah, I love my fellow man. If we just reduce this command down to just the single word and tell people just love, just be loving, that wouldn't really tell us much because everybody has some love. The question is, how much love are we required to have and what kind? What's the standard for love? How can you tell if you're obeying the command or breaking the command, falling short of it? Well, we don't have to wonder about that because the answer to that question is built right into the command itself. He says, love your neighbor, and then here comes the standard, love your neighbor as yourself. That's the standard. Love your neighbor as yourself. The way you love yourself, that's how you must love your neighbor. And anything that falls short of that, inadequate. It's a violation of the command. Now, here's where there's a huge amount of confusion that enters into the picture. We live in a culture that is basically one giant self-love cult. I mean, that's the cult of our country. Self-love. That's their number one doctrine. Self-love, self-esteem, self-reliance, self-acceptance. Whatever your problem is, emotional problem is, solution is, love yourself more. That's the cult of our culture. And that doctrine is so dominating and so prevalent in our culture that it finds its way into the church. It finds its way into sermons. It finds its way into Christian books as if it were from the Bible. In fact, many Bible teachers have tried to put it into the Bible. They tried to make it go in there. It's the most, and this command here is the most common place where they try to squeeze it in. In the royal law of Scripture, they say when God says we are to love our neighbor as we love ourselves, what he really meant was we must first learn to love ourselves so that we can learn to love others better. Because if you love yourself, then you'll love others. So the idea is if you have a good, strong, robust love of self, high self-esteem, that's going to make you socially healthy and kind of well-adjusted, and you're going to automatically just start treating people better. That interpretation of the royal law of Scripture is incredibly pervasive. Raise your hand if you've heard that. If you've heard people teach it. Yeah, I mean, everybody. It's so incredibly popular. In fact, when we are bringing people to the leadership process and discipling them and we're working with them on their doctrine, this is, I think, the most common doctrinal error we run into. People who believe this. It's incredibly popular because it falls right in line with one of the cardinal doctrines of our culture. The problem is, it's not what the Bible says. It doesn't say first learn to love yourself. It assumes you already love yourself. And I'm going to spend a little time on this morning. I debated about whether to do this, but I think it's just such a common error. I need to spend a little time. So I want to try to show you that this is not what the Bible says. You already love yourself. You do. You love yourself. If you didn't, then this would not be a proper standard for God to give for loving others, right? It would be a low standard. If there really are a bunch of people running around out there who don't love themselves, why would God say, use self-love as the standard for how you love your neighbor? Why would he do that? I mean, think about it. Suppose your kids, think of something your kids really hate. Suppose they hate liver, okay? Every time you serve liver for supper, they just choke and gag and throw up and they act like they're going to die, okay? If that's how they felt about liver, would you come up to your kids and say, hey kids, I want you to love your brothers and sisters the way that you love liver? You wouldn't do that. Why? Because you'd basically be telling them to hate their brother and sister. God wouldn't use self-love as a standard for how we're to love one another if we actually hated ourselves, because then it would be a low standard. Now, I know what some of you are thinking, because you're thinking, wait a minute, just reality, what about self-loathing? Everybody knows about that. Everyone experiences that. What about the fact that I look in the mirror, I hate what I see? How do you explain that? Well, there's no question that all of us, at one point or another, have disgust, feelings of disgust toward ourselves, right? We have certain parts of ourselves that we don't like. I'll grant that. But the parts of me that I don't like, the reason I don't like them is because they cause problems for the rest of me. For example, maybe you hate your physical appearance. You think it's ugly. You look in the mirror, you think you're ugly. Why is that a problem? Why is that a problem? Why does that make you feel sad when you become aware that you're ugly? It makes you feel sad because being ugly causes a problem for you. And you don't want problems for you. Why? Because you love you. If you hated you, you'd love it when you have problems. You'd say, serves me right. One thing I hate about myself is my laziness. I hate it. I hate it because it causes so many problems for me, and I don't want problems for me. Why? Because I love me. If you really, truly hate someone, you're glad when they run into problems. You're glad. You really hate someone, you're glad when people are making fun of them. Serves them right. But you're not glad when people make fun of you, because you love you. And there are some things about yourself you don't like, but overall, you love you. In fact, you love yourself so much, you love yourself more than you love anyone. That's why God chooses self-love as the highest standard for loving others. It's the highest standard of love we know. It is the highest standard there is in the world for love. The way you treat yourself like a king. Your wish is your command. In fact, you treat yourself better than a king. If you're thirsty, you get a drink. If you have an itch, you scratch it. If your nose is running, you wipe it. If the king's nose is running, you let him wipe it himself. Every time you inhale a breath of air, that's because you love yourself. Whose teeth did you brush this morning? Whose hair did you comb? What person on this planet, tell me, what person on this planet have you wept more tears over when that person got hurt than you? Nobody. If you think you hate yourself, just watch what happens when you're in bed asleep and the covers slip off and you get cold. What do you do? Well, you reach over and pull the covers back over you so you can warm up. Why? You wouldn't do that for someone you truly hated. That's actually a very, very kind, considerate, tender thing to do for someone. Don't you think? I mean, if you saw someone sleeping and you get a blanket and you cover them up and kind of tuck them in, people would see that and say, oh, that is so sweet. What a considerate thing to do. How often do you do that for other people? You do it for yourself every single night. Every night. Because you love you. Ephesians 5:29, the Bible just says it. No one ever hated his own body. He feeds it and cares for it. That's what the Bible says. I mean, those of you who think you hate yourself, what do? If you get a rock in your shoe, you say, ah, serves me right. I think I'll take that rock out, sharpen it, and put it back. I don't know about you, but there have been days when I have been so disgusted with myself. I could hardly stand it. And yet, even on those days, if I get a rock in my shoe, I'm taking it out. Why? Because I love this disgusting self of mine. Even people who destroy themselves through suicide. Why do they do that? They do that. It's because of self-love. They're trying to escape pain. And they don't care if they inflict pain on everyone around them, as long as they can escape pain. They're loving themselves more than they're loving others. Suppose we just grant for the sake of argument. Okay. Maybe this is what this verse means. It means if you develop a robust love for yourself, then you'll start loving others. That'll help you love others more. Think about that for a second. If that were even a possibility for an interpretation, how would that work? You ever thought about that? What would that look like? For example, suppose I want something for myself, but it would be good for you to have it instead. Like there's one slice of pie left in the house, right? I want it, and I know you want it. Selfishness tells me, take it for yourself. Love tells me, to give it to you. Okay? So, you tell me, how is loving myself more going to help me with that? How's that going to help me? Suppose you and I get into an argument. And you and I, we're both doing what naturally comes in an argument from the flesh. I'm thinking of all the factors that support my view, and I'm making much of those, and I'm downplaying the factors that support your side. In my heart and mind, I make much of all the things that point to me being right, and I downplay all the things that would point to me being wrong. And I do the exact reverse for you. That's what we naturally do in an argument. I focus all my attention on your faults and not very much attention on your good points. We do that when we're fighting with each other naturally. So tell me, how does developing a more robust love for myself help me with that? How does it help me stop doing that? How does increasing self-esteem and self-love and self-worth cause me to give more of a compassionate listening ear to your side above my side? These people that say we need to learn to love ourselves so that we can love other people, I don't think they even think through how that actually would work out in real life. One of the most famous things that Jesus ever said is the golden rule, right? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, Luke 6:31. I think even in the world, even secular people like that. They like that. They think that's a good standard. That's helpful. The golden rule. Why? Why does the golden rule work so well as a standard? Treating others the way I want to be treated works great as a standard. Why? Because I want to be treated well. Very simple. I love being treated well, and I don't like being treated poorly. Why? Because I love me. And if I really wanted to be treated poorly, the golden rule wouldn't work. But it does work. So that learn to love yourself doctrine, it's not what the Bible says. It doesn't even make sense, and it doesn't work. If low self-love were a danger, the Bible would warn us about it. It would warn us and say, be careful not to get too low on self-love. But not only does the Bible never warn us about low self-love, it warns us on the other end. It warns us about too much self-love, right? The real danger isn't getting too low on self-love, it's loving yourself too much. It's good to have normal self-love, just the kind that causes you to eat and drink and sleep and rest and comb your hair so you can function in life. It's okay to have the covers pulled over you. Even Jesus had that kind of self-love. Even Jesus, when he slept on the boat, remember, he put his head on a cushion instead of a sharp rock, right? So that's okay. The problem comes when that kind of self-love rises up in our priorities above loving others. Then that's when we cross the line into selfishness. It's fine for me to cover up with a blanket when I'm cold, but if you're also cold and there's only one blanket, I gotta have your comfort ahead of my comfort as a priority. Philippians 2:3 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition, but in humility consider others more important than yourselves. So too much self-love is sin. In fact, it's a sign of the ultimate wickedness of the end times. 2 Timothy 3:1 says, mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves and lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. The greatest enemy to true love is selfishness. There are too many people that think the solution to their problems is to receive love. They just become selfish, and they're like, love me, love me. Oh, am I ever glad Daryl's preaching on love so these people around me can learn to start loving me better, you know. And they think that the solution to their problems is for people to love them more and to pay more attention to them. People aren't loving me. They're not welcoming me. They're not showing me any gratitude. They're not paying attention to me. If that's you, I'm telling you, the solution to your problems is not for people to love you more. It's not. For people infected with a disease of selfishness like that, to give more attention to those people, it's like serving drinks to an alcoholic. That's not what you need. Do you need love? Yeah, a lot. And God has given it to you. God has already showed you as much love as you could possibly ever need and more. The problem is you can't enjoy that as long as you have an inward, selfish focus. You can't. The only way to enjoy God's love is to shift your focus outward. God's love for you will feel better when it flows through you to someone else. That's when it really feels good. The solution to your problems is not for you to feel better about yourself. The solution is for you to feel better about other people, because feeling good about others feels better than feeling good about yourself. So what is the standard for how we are to love one another? It's self-love, the way that we love ourselves. That's the standard, the kind of love we have for ourselves. This world would be a lot better place if some people would love their neighbor as much as they love their cat or dog. This world would be a much, much better place if some people loved their neighbor half as much as they love their car. If God would have said, love your neighbor as you love your favorite athlete or singer or actor, a lot of people would have really high standard for loving their neighbor. But God wasn't satisfied with any of that. He didn't say, love him as much as you love your pet or your favorite actor. He said, love your neighbor as much. And he shoots all the way to the highest experience of love that we can conceive of in the human realm, the way that you love yourself. Love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. Can you even imagine a world where everyone did that? That's going to be one of the most astonishing things about heaven. Everyone will do that.
Take a few minutes to think of ways your love for yourself shows itself in your home, and how you might show that same kind of love more to others in your home.
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? This season of the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the book of James. 50 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. And if you like listening on your phone, download our free Food for Your Soul mobile app. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.